Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Thursday, August the 21st. Coming up, it's been a big day for GCSE pupils who've been finding out their exam results. And we hear from the Maidstone man who's taking on the epic challenge of running seven marathons in 7 days in seven different countries. But first, this is our most read story on the website today. A Kent landlord has revealed plans to offer woodland to a council for a traveller camp. Lucy joins me now with more on this one. So who are we talking about, Lucy?
Well, this is Fergus Wilson, who was once the subject of a BBC documentary called Britain's Most Controversial Landlord. He got that title for various decisions, including banning tenants on housing benefits from his properties, along with those who were victims of domestic abuse. He's ended up in court a number of times, including for using a mobile phone while driving, assaulting an estate agent, harassing Ashford council staff and racially abusing a Slovakian traffic warden.
So what's he offered to do?
Well, Mr. Wilson currently owns a 12-acre piece of land in Boughton-on-Chelsea. He bought it in 1987 to protect his view while he lived in Heath Road opposite the woodland. He's now suggested it could be sold to Maidstone Borough Council and used as a gypsy and traveller camp.
And why has this come about?
Well, last week the local authority launched a borough-wide appeal for a suitable site to accommodate a 15-pitch camp. It would be in addition to the two already available in Starbridge and Water Lane in Kingswood. They also said they would be prepared to spend up to £4 million developing the land. Alongside the pitches, there would be a brick-built amenity block and space for two caravans and two vehicles.
And we've been speaking to Mr. Wilson about it.
Yes, he's told us the council have written to him in the past about whether the site could be converted, but he's previously declined. However, he says he will now offer it to them and would like an expression of interest quickly, or he'll make it available for housing. And he's instructed his land agent to make the offer to the authority.
And finally, Lucy, have we heard from the authority?
A spokesman for Maidstone Council said it had not yet received the offer from Mr. Wilson. However, that has been disputed by the land agent, and while the site is not allocated in the borough's adopted local plan, recently the council published figures showing that its housing land supply had dipped to 4.5 years below the 5 years that the government requires. As a result, the government says a tilted balance must now apply in favour of any housing proposal that comes forward.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man's been arrested after police were called to reports of a person wielding a sword and a knife near Gravesend. We're told an officer suffered a cut to his hand during a standoff in Worcester Close in Eisted Rise yesterday morning. A taser was also used. A 29-year-old is in custody and an investigation is underway. More details have emerged about the death of a delivery driver in a stabbing in Gravesend. Police were called to a disturbance involving a group of people outside a home in Augustine Road last Tuesday night. An inquest has now heard a 33-year-old was stabbed in the heart and died the following day in hospital. A man and woman have been charged with murder and are due to enter a plea at Crown Court next month. Three women have been found guilty of helping to run brothels in Kent. A court was told they played a part in the operation by directing, controlling and taking money from properties in Chatham, Gillingham and Maidstone during a 2.5 month period. The 47, 49 and 55-year-olds have been released on bail until they're sentenced. A man's been cleared by a jury of causing grievous bodily harm with intent after leaving another man with life-changing brain injuries when he was knocked unconscious in Ramsgate. Mark Hughes fell and hit his head on the pavement after being punched in November 2022. A court's heard how Buster Lakey was acting in fear and shock after a glass object was thrown at his car, shattering his windscreen. The 28-year-old from Manston Road in Margate had already admitted a lesser offence of inflicting GBH and will be sentenced in October. Now, the Reform UK leader of Kent County Council has told local authorities to check up on the legal status of asylum hotels. Lyndon Kemp-Caron has spoken out after a High Court decision to stop people being housed at a hotel in Epping. She's posted a video on X.
So today I've written to my fellow leaders here in Kent to ask them two things about the asylum seeker hotel situation. The first thing I'd like to know the answer to is how many hotels in their divisions or districts or boroughs have been turned into accommodation for asylum seekers or illegal migrants. And the second thing I need to know is, have the planning permissions for change of use from hotel to asylum seeker accommodation been correctly sought and granted? If it transpires that those permissions have not been correctly granted, then I'll be urging them in the strongest possible terms to take legal action very swiftly indeed.
Conservative Party leader Kimmy Badenoch has also said she'll support Tory-run councils if they want to take legal action. Meantime, it's been confirmed a former military barracks in Kent will continue to be used to house asylum seekers, despite previous plans to shut it next month. The Home Office had been due to hand Napier Barracks in Folkestone back to the Ministry of Defence. The local council now says it's not set to close until 2026.
Kent Online reports.
You can head over to our website today to see pictures of a derelict house that's been gutted in a suspected arson attack near Tunbridge. 11 fire engines were sent to tackle the blaze on Battle Lane in Marden in the early hours of yesterday. It took crews nearly 12 hours to put out the flames. No one was hurt, but it's thought to have been started deliberately. A man who almost hit pedestrians while riding a dirt bike along a busy high street while under the influence of drink and drugs has avoided going to prison. CCTV captured the 22-year-old on the electric vehicle in Ashford Town Centre in March. He didn't have a licence or insurance and has been given a suspended jail term. He's also got to do 100 hours of unpaid work. Now, thousands of teenagers across Kent have been picking up those all-important GCSE results today. National figures show the number of students getting top grades has risen slightly from last year and remains higher than before the COVID pandemic. 21.9% were awarded a 7 or above. Well, anyone who didn't get what they were hoping for is being urged not to panic. Gracie and Amelia are Year 12 students in Maidstone. They've been telling Lucy about their experience picking up GCSE results last year.
What was it like when you went to go and pick up your results last year? I bet it feels like it was only yesterday.
I know, yeah, it does feel like it was actually yesterday, but it was very nerve-wracking at the start.
Yeah, especially the night before, you get really nervous. But I feel like
once you get them, I feel like it's a weight lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah, and it shows all your hard work's finally paid off and it's all worth the stress.
Did you guys get the results you were hoping for?
Yeah, I got what I hoped for and better.
Yeah, that was the same as me. Yeah,
which is really good.
And obviously that's such a good feeling on results day to get that.
What advice would you give to people picking up their results this year?
Obviously, it's easier said than done, but try and not be as stressed, because obviously that's going to make you worry more.
Yeah, and obviously grades don't define you. So if it's not what you're hoping for on the piece of paper, there will still be so many routes
and options
that you can take. And everyone around you will support you no matter what.
And is that something you guys were aware of, all the different options out there? Obviously there's apprenticeships, there's college, there's so many different things you can do.
Yeah, to be fair, our school had given us quite a lot of options on what to do if things didn't go as planned, or if we did better than we wanted and we'd applied for places lower. I think we got quite a lot of options given to us.
Yeah, school for us was very supportive. They make sure you know beforehand what you need to know and what
you
options
can go and what
you
can
do.
And a year on, does it feel like you've kind of forgotten about GCSEs, or do you still feel like the stress of it stays with you?
I feel like the stress literally left as soon as I opened my results.
Yeah, as soon as you've got into your A levels with your GCSEs, no one talks about GCSEs anymore. They're literally just pushed away, they never happen. So yeah, it's stressful leading up to results day, but as soon as you've got your results, that's it. You don't need to stress anymore afterwards.
And A-levels certainly aren't the only option on the table for pupils. Heather Judd is a careers advisor at North Kent College.
Post-16 students, as we like to call them, they can look at other sixth forms. They can look at college options. They can look at apprenticeships, internships, traineeships, and employment. So they've got a range of things in front of them. They're not pigeonholed into a box just because they're 16.
And what's it going to be like for you guys today? How busy is it going to be?
Sometimes it's just a case of people get their results and realize it's time to make a decision and they hadn't really got to that point before results day. Sometimes it's people have done better than they expected, so didn't think they had a chance of a place in a sixth form or college, and now realize they have. And obviously you do get the few whose results haven't quite gone to plan and didn't have a backup option.
Are you seeing any trends in the past few years as to what teenagers are wanting to do when they get to 16? We've heard about an increasing number looking at apprenticeships, things like that. They're quite keen to earn money. What are you seeing?
Yeah, apprenticeships are definitely a really popular option. But they're also really competitive. So I do meet a lot of young people that would prefer a pr apprenticeship option, but trying to find that is tricky. And it's also from a college point of view, our most popular courses are always the ones that aren't necessarily offered in the local sixth form.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell us a bit about why college is so different, because it is different to a school setting, isn't it? For many reasons.
Yeah, so college, I would say you have a lot more freedom over your day. You're only timetabled for your taught lessons. We don't have a kind of bell system, as it were. So it's not like you turn up every day, you go to form time, a bell goes and everybody moves at the same time, and then a bell goes again a bit later and everybody moves again. Each course or each group of students has their own particular timetable that's unique to their subject. So it's a lot more manageable. As I mentioned, you only have to be here when you're timetabled to be in classes, so you may have a bit more free time in your week, depending on how your timetable works out. And college courses, more often than not, are a lot more vocational, so there are a lot broader resources, and a lot more practical experience to be had.
So, what would be your key bit of advice to anyone collecting that envelope today or getting the results on an app or an email? What would you say to them?
Whatever you're deciding now, you are not making your whole decision for life. This is not a career-defining moment. You are literally, in some cases, in the case of a level one course, you are choosing the next 9 months, September through to June. It's about making the decision that is right for you, that is going to give you the best chance of being successful. And it's about understanding that that decision may be different to that of your friends. It might be different to that of what your family were expecting, but it's about making that individual decision.
Well, thanks so much to Gracie and Amelia and to Heather for chatting to us. If you do want any college advice, just head to the website for where your local college is located. They'll have plenty of careers advisors for you to chat to. And we do wish you all the very best for your future plans if you've been picking up GCSE results today.
Kent Online reports.
Campaigners say flats and a seafront redevelopment in Hythe are out of reach for local families, with prices starting at £400,000. Phase two of the residence in Marine Parade will launch next month and we'll see Pensand House transformed into 32 apartments and six penthouses. The local mayor says he's concerned about the lack of affordable housing, though developer Chelsea Portfolio insists it's a positive step for the town. Traders in Herne Bay are calling for a toilet block to be fixed, saying they're overrun with people using theirs. The St George's public loos in Central Parade were fenced off by Canterbury City Council in April after they found structural issues. One local cafe owner says they're having to clean their toilets five times a day. Canterbury City Council say no long-term decision has been made on the future of the toilets. Now, next today, a Maidstone man who was a victim of childhood bullying is attempting to run seven marathons in 7 days in seven different countries, all in aid of charity. Ben White from Teesham was physically and verbally bullied during his time at secondary school. He's explained how the verbal abuse he suffered for how he ran had a profound effect on him, but says that running actually saved his life. Well, the 29-year-old has been telling us all about the epic challenge he's about to take on.
So I'm going to be going from Krakow, Prague, Vienna, Luxembourg, Munich, Brussels and Groningen. So whilst I haven't looked at the route as such, I know my routes and their parks in each of the countries I'm visiting. I've seen the likes of Russ Cook, who ran the length of Africa, and the whole boy who ran the full length of the UK, becoming the youngest person to do so. And when you have like these examples around you, when you're going through those times, people that are showing you a new level of can, it makes you think, what is my can? And for me, that's what I'm curious about. I'm like, how far can I go? So it's walking into the unknown and not knowing what that unknown is. That's what's excited me about this challenge. I mean, my family, my friends, they think I'm absolutely crazy, but at the same time, they're very proud of me for the message I'm trying to spread and for the challenge I'm undertaking. And I say to them that I have a lot of faith in myself, so please have that faith in me, and I'll see you on the other side. I wanted to run 7 marathons in 7 days in 7 countries, and I wanted to do so representing bullying and representing mental health. And the idea of running 7 marathons back-to-back is to relive the pain and the hurt from the day before again and again, to represent the struggles you have as a sufferer of mental health and a victim of bullying. If I could speak to the bullies now, there's not too much I would say. Like, I don't hold resentment towards them. What's happened has happened. And I think what's important is, if they're bringing up children today, that they learn from their past to make their children have a greater future, to ensure their children don't go through what they put other people through.
Thank you so much to Ben for telling us all about his run. This really is going to be a huge challenge. Ben is raising money for Bright Young Dreams, and you can find his fundraising page by going to Just Giving. Plans to restore a disused historic building in West Kent have moved a step forward. The former Oast House at Seven Oaks Quarry would be part of a large new housing estate in the area. Plans for 950 properties were approved in June last year. The existing building could be turned into a community asset. And an abandoned 15th century pub near Ashford has gone up for sale. The site in Bodsham was previously known as the Timber Bats, but has been empty since closing 2 years ago. Under former owners, it developed a reputation for its museum of curiosities collected over several years, with the pub's been given a price tag of £475,000.
Kent Online Sport.
Cricket first up, and Kent are back in One Day Cup action this morning. The Spitfires were beaten by Middlesex on Tuesday, keeping them bottom of Group B with just 1 win in 5 today. They're at the County Ground to take on Northamptonshire Steelbacks. Elsewhere, Kent's Zach Crawley scored an unbeaten half century for Northern Superchargers as they thrashed London Spirit by 8 wickets in 100. They beat their victory target of 136 with 18 balls to spare. The result means they're now level on points at the top of the standings. And in athletics, Kent's Dina Asher-Smith finished 5th in the women's 200 metres at last night's Diamond League race in Switzerland. She got a time of 22.64 seconds. It's part of preparations for next month's World Athletics Championships. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.